Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. This is Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist, and tonight we're talking about the Marriage Supper Prophecy. That's the documentary John the Revelator was shown as he stood in heaven. An angel of the Lord tasked with showing him the things to come, showed him the first documentary, the Seven Seals documentary, then a second, the Seven Trumpets documentary, then the 1,260 Days documentary, then the 666 Antichrist documentary, then the 144,000 First Fruits documentary, then the Earth Reap documentary, then the Seven Plagues documentary, then the Purple and Scarlet documentary, and documentary number 9, the documentary about the Battle of Armageddon, the Marriage Supper documentary. So tonight our focus is the demise of the Antichrist. The demise of the Antichrist. We're going to start with the end and then work backwards in the book of Revelation. So in other words, we're starting with the end of the Antichrist. What is the end of a person? So if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, your end is eternal life on the new earth, not this present earth, but the new earth to come. Well, what's that? Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 to 5 of 22 says, we're going to get a new earth where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more mourning, no more death. This new earth is so perfect that God the Father, is going to relocate his home, which is currently in present heaven, to the new earth. That's how perfect it is. So the end for every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is eternal life. That's forever and ever. That's living after the end of the world, after the end of time, living in what is called eternity future on the new earth. If you are the Antichrist, your end is eternal damnation. What's that? That's living forever and ever in Gehenna, the lake of fire. Now, the Antichrist has his demise at the Battle of Armageddon. He is captured by Jesus Christ, and he is thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20 refers to it as the second death. So it's one thing to lose one's life. In other words, for your spirit to be released from the earth suit that you currently dwell in, because the earth suit that you currently dwell in, it's mortal. It's incorruptible. Excuse me, it is corruptible. It's not incorruptible. It's corruptible. It's mortal. It's subject to demise. It has in its DNA errors. This earth is under the curse, and everyone born after Adam and Eve sinned. We were born in the image of Adam rather than in the image of God, which means that we are in an earth suit that has DNA errors, an earth suit that is subject to death. We are indeed mortal. But everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to get version 2.0 of his earth suit, version 2.0 of her earth suit, an incorruptible body, an immortal body, a forever body, a body that's free of DNA errors. Now, again, our question, what is the end and when is the end of the Antichrist? It's after the Battle of Armageddon is fought and won. Let's go there now. Let's go there now. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 21. Revelation chapter 19. John the Revelator was shown the marriage supper documentary. And because he did not have the benefit of the technology that we have today in 2024, he wrote down everything he saw and everything that he heard. And because he wrote it down, we refer to it as a prophecy. But if we had a video recording, if we had a video recording of what he heard and saw, we'd refer to it as a documentary, because what he saw was a vision that was external to himself. What he saw was moving pictures with sound generated by an omniscient God, an all-knowing God. So what he saw, soon coming realities, realities in the distant future for John the Revelator, but in the very near future for those of us who dwell on this present earth in 2024. So here's John the Revelator speaking to you and me, readers of the book of Revelation. He says, Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, "Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people." And the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words that come from God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, "No, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters, who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus." Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True. For he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, "Come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great." Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. And the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. That is the marriage supper prophecy, John's written report of the marriage supper documentary that he viewed as he stood in heaven. We heard in Revelation chapter 19, verse 19, then I saw the beast. And in verse 20 it says, and the beast was captured. The beast is the Antichrist. This is the same beast referred to in Revelation chapter 17, as the scarlet beast. And it's the same beast referred to in Revelation chapter 13, at the beginning of Revelation chapter 13, which is the 666 Antichrist prophecy. There's reference to the beast and how he is given, he's able to do whatever he wants for a time, time and half a time. That's how Daniel refers to it. Revelation 13 says for 42 months. So, it says, and the beast was captured here in the marriage supper documentary. And then later in the same verse, Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the precise moment of the demise of the Antichrist. So he reaches his final destination, his end, his second death, when he is thrown into this fiery lake of burning sulfur. What is that? That's Gehenna. That's hell. That's hell. So when we talk about hell, there's Hades. So underneath the earth, we have disembodied spirits that are in prisons of darkness. So Hades is a location underneath the earth. The Bible tells us elsewhere that there are three locations for human beings, three locations. So, of course, you and I are here on the earth, but there are human beings who are above the earth. Where are they? In heaven. How are they in heaven? They are in heaven as disembodied spirits. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it says he gave up his spirit. He didn't cease to be. His earth suit gave out. He was in a mortal earth suit. It gave out. And so his spirit emerged. It popped out of that earth suit. But his spirit and his soul, mind, will, and emotions completely intact. When a human being experiences death, let's refer to it as the first death to distinguish it from the second death. When a human being experiences the first death, the spirit pops right on out. It pops out along with the soul of a human being completely intact. Now, a disembodied spirit does not remain on this earth. A disembodied spirit either descends in its place in Hades underneath the earth, or it ascends and takes its place above the earth in heaven. So three locations for human beings today, right now, on the earth, in heaven, or in Hades. Now, let's talk about, again, the demise of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. We know that because it tells us that here in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 20, it explains in the dead judged prophecy that this is what's called the second death. So the Bible refers to a transition from being alive in a state of life, so being in a living body, going from being alive to the lake of fire is referred to as the second death. Let's go there for a second. Revelation 20, verse 14, the second half of verse 14 says, this lake of fire is the second death. And the sentence that preceded that is, then death and and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. So this happens later, but what's important here is it says this lake of fire is the second death. So the second death is permanent. The second death is what we traditionally think of as hell. In other words, eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. So when someone goes there into the lake of fire, that individual never, ever emerges from the lake of fire. Now, let's work backwards. So we're already at the end of life for the Antichrist. By the end of life, we mean his final destination. But what happened before he was thrown in the lake of fire? Now, we heard in Revelation chapter 19 that he was captured. So at the Battle of Armageddon, he's captured right along with the other flunky of Satan, the false prophet. So we have that unholy trinity, right? That unholy trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The Antichrist is the first to be captured, the first of God's five enemies to be thrown into the lake of fire, the first of God's five enemies to inhabit Gehenna, according to the book of Revelation. Now let's work backwards. What happened immediately before he was thrown into the lake of fire? We go to Daniel. We go to Daniel to hear some interesting details. Now, I've heard some Bible scholars use this phrase, the Bible confirms itself. What do they mean when they say that? The same story is told over and over and over again in the Bible when it comes to events that are important to God. So what do I mean by that? God decided to talk to Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, about the Battle of Armageddon. Still on his heart and his mind, God later talked to John the Revelator about the Battle of Armageddon. God also spoke to Isaiah about the Battle of Armageddon and to Daniel about the Battle of Armageddon. And this is not an exhaustive list. So if God is talking to multiple individuals about the Battle of Armageddon, but there's only one Battle of Armageddon, it doesn't happen at time one and then again at time two and then again at time three. No, it happens only one time at the appointed hour, on the appointed day, at a specific location. So he doesn't use the exact same words to talk about the Battle of Armageddon, and there's some details that are shared with Daniel that weren't shared with John the Revelator, and vice versa. Some details that are shared with Ezekiel that weren't shared with Daniel, and vice versa. Does that mean God was withholding information? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when he chose to communicate information about the Battle of Armageddon, some of that information is included in all of his discussions with people that are recorded in the Bible, but some information he shared only with that one person. Let's go to Daniel to see what unique information is shared about the Antichrist and his demise. Let's go there now. Daniel chapter 7, about the Antichrist, Daniel says in verse 8, as I was looking at the horns, suddenly another small horn appeared among them. So these horns are talking about the leaders, the kings in the 10-nation alliance, the one world government that will dominate political and economic affairs during the Great Tribulation. And this small horn is the Antichrist. So the one world government is already in place when the Antichrist emerges on the scene and becomes ultimately the mouthpiece. He becomes one of the 10 kings, but he's not an original king. But he emerges as one. So here we are hearing that report. Daniel says again, Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, as I was looking at the horns, suddenly another small horn appeared among them. Three of the first horns were torn out by the roots to make room for it. This little horn had eyes like human eyes and a mouth that was boasting arrogantly. Now, that is telling us Daniel saw the Antichrist. He saw the beginning of the Antichrist in terms of his emergence to power during the Great Tribulation. He sees that three of the original ten kings are removed from power, and then they were removed for the purpose of making room for the Antichrist. Okay, so three go down, and he emerges. Now, immediately after hearing that the Antichrist was boasting arrogantly, we go to the end. So often, large periods of time are traversed in one verse of the Bible. So we see the beginning of the rise of the Antichrist to power during the Great Tribulation, and now, just a few years later, we're going to hear what happens at the demise of the Antichrist. So again, it says, this little horn had eyes like human eyes and a mouth that was boasting arrogantly. I watched as thrones were put in place, and the Ancient One sat down to judge. So now we're getting to where the Antichrist gets his judgment. So no one goes into the lake of fire without having judgment. So eternal damnation is a consequence of being found guilty. It's a consequence of having sin debt that's unpaid for. In order to determine whether an individual has sin debt that's unpaid for, evidence must be presented. Now, what is the evidence that God uses to make a determination about whether an individual is sentenced to eternal damnation, is sentenced to the second death? The evidence that God uses, two pieces of evidence, according to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. Number one, the Lamb's Book of Life. He looks to see, is someone's name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, yes or no? Either you're on the list or you're not. Either your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it isn't. Just like, you know, years ago, they would have these fancy clubs. Maybe they have them now. And if you wanted to get in the club, your name had to be on the list. And it didn't matter who you were. If your name was not on the list, you weren't getting in. Now, we're not talking about getting into a nightclub. We're talking about getting into the new earth, getting eternal life, getting a new, incorruptible, immortal body. We're talking about something very important, the most important thing that you could think of, which is how do you escape death, your number one enemy? Now, what is the evidence that God's going to use to determine whether the Antichrist is suitable for habitation on the new earth or suitable for habitation in Gehenna? That's the lake that burns with sulfur and brimstone forever and ever. It's number one, the Lamb's Book of Life, and number two, the books in heaven. Everyone has a book in heaven where your actions, your motives, your deeds are recorded. Revelation chapter 20 says, and the books were opened, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Everything that you've ever done, everything that I've ever done, it's recorded in our books. Now, if you've been to mediation And 1 Timothy says Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. If you've been to mediation, in other words, if you are born again, if you have followed God's plan for salvation, then you've been to mediation and your sins are blotted out of your book. It has that language in the Bible. Your sins are blotted out if you've been to mediation. Now, why do your sins have to be blotted out of your book in heaven? Because that's the book used to make a determination. That's the book used to make a determination. Now, we're talking about the demise of the Antichrist. Here it is, it's judgment day for him. Verse 9, I watched as thrones were put in place, and the ancient one sat down to judge. His clothing was as white as snow, his hair like purest wool. He sat on a fiery throne with wheels of blazing fire, and a river of fire was pouring out, flowing from his presence. Millions of angels ministered to him. Many millions stood to attend him. Then the court began its session, and the books were opened. We're in court. We're in court, Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 to 10. This is the day of judgment for the Antichrist. Now, in Revelation, we don't hear about his judgment. We just hear about what happens after he's been sentenced. He's not the star of the Marriage Supper documentary. Jesus Christ is. But here in Daniel, we get to find out more details about the demise of the Antichrist. So then the court began its session, and the books were opened. Let's continue, verse 11. I continued to watch because I could hear the little horn's boastful speech. I kept watching until the fourth beast was killed and its body was destroyed by fire. So Daniel, in what he was shown the reality of Judgment Day for the Antichrist, and then the documentary, what he was shown in the vision that he had a vision, what he was shown, he didn't watch a documentary in heaven, but the vision that Daniel had, it goes to some more scenes. So now it goes to something new. We're not going to go with those topics. What's key for us? Daniel chapter 7, verses 9, 10, and the first sentence in verse 11, this is the reality of Judgment Day for the Antichrist. Now, an angel explains to him the vision that he had, and talking about the Antichrist in the same chapter, so Daniel's telling us the vision that he had, what he actually saw. So he actually sees the Antichrist getting ready to be judged in court. And then in Revelation, in Daniel, the same book, Daniel chapter 7, verse 20, it says, let's go to verse 25. Daniel chapter 7, verses 25 and 26, talking about the Antichrist, it says, he will defy the Most High and oppress the holy people of the Most High. He will try to change their sacred festivals and laws, and they will be placed under his control for a time, times and half a time. That's 3.5 years. Now here's the what the angel says about the vision Daniel saw, that the part that we heard. Verse 26 of chapter 7, but then the court will pass judgment. So the court is going to pass judgment on the Antichrist. Now, what's the outcome of the Antichrist being judged? You guessed it. He's found guilty. He has not made Jesus Christ his Lord and Savior. He hasn't been to mediation. His sin debt exists. and all his sins are written in his books that appear in heaven. So we know he's definitely found guilty. It says in verse 26, but then the court will pass judgment and all his power will be taken away and completely destroyed. So the Antichrist has all his power taken away. He is completely destroyed. Now, what does it mean for him to be destroyed? In the book of Revelation, to be destroyed, and this is God's solution for all of his enemies, it's the second death. So this is talking about he is thrown into the lake of fire. He's completely destroyed. There's no coming back from the lake of fire. There's no coming back from the lake of fire. Now, when people pop out of their earth suit because they experienced the first death, if they're in Christ, they immediately rise up. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who die in Christ. Do you know what? Those people make a comeback. 100%. 100% of the human beings who are in heaven, they are making a comeback. You say, well, research scientists, when is that? At the second coming of Jesus Christ, they come back with him. And when they come back, their new, reconstituted, resurrected body, which is 100% free of DNA errors, which is incorruptible, which is immortal, that means it's glorified. It's just like the perfect body that Jesus Christ inherits. Now, you will recognize them. You will recognize yourself. It's the best version of you that ever was and ever will be. It's you with no back pain. You with perfect vision, you with no mental torment, you with perfect knees. You'll be able to run like the wind. You'll be able to play the piano with both of your hands. You'll be able to have a full head of hair. Every DNA error that has caused you to be less than perfect in your physical state is going to be corrected. There's no coming back from Gehenna, the lake of fire. But for every person who goes to heaven, they are coming back with Jesus Christ. Now, the Antichrist, we heard here in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9, 10, and 11, and now in 26, the court passes judgment on the Antichrist. His power is taken away. He is completely destroyed. We hear in Revelation chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, what that means. How is he destroyed? He's thrown into Gehenna, the lake of fire. Now, that is his end. Now, let's back up. What happened prior to the Antichrist going to court? So we know from Daniel chapter 7 that he ends up in court. And we know that he was given power for a time, times, and half a time. Well, what else happened with the Antichrist? Let's go to the book of Revelation to find out what else is happening with the Antichrist. Well, the documentary that focuses nearly exclusively on the Antichrist and his partner in crime, the false prophet, is the 666 Antichrist prophecy. Let's go there. So Revelation chapter 13 is the 666 Antichrist prophecy. It is the 666 Antichrist documentary John the Revelator was shown as he stood in heaven. And what about the Antichrist? And in a moment, we're going to go to callers. Let's hear what the Antichrist was doing prior to arriving in court. Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. These are the activities of the Antichrist prior to him arriving at court. It says, John the Revelator speaking to you and me, then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns with 10 crowns on its horns. So this is talking about the 10-nation alliance, the one world government during the Great Tribulation. And continuing, it says, and written on each head were names that blasphemed God. This beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his power and throne and great authority. So what is this saying? The one world government that's coming during the Great Tribulation, 10 nations out of Europe that are going to ally in a powerful way, these nations are going to be empowered by the dragon. Who's the dragon? It's not China. It's not China. Revelation chapter 20 tells us the dragon is Satan. It says, and the dragon gave the beast his own power and throne and great authority. Verse 3 continuing says, I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. He's talking about the Antichrist. The whole world marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. They worshiped the dragon for giving the beast such power, talking about the Antichrist, and they also worshiped the beast. Who is as great as the beast, they exclaimed, who is able to fight against him? Then the beast, talking again about the Antichrist, was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. Now, remember, Daniel said a time times and half a time. That's a year, 2 years and half a year. That's 3.5 years. 42 months is 3.5 years. So see, the Bible does indeed confirm itself. So the Lord spoke to Daniel in a vision about the 3.5 year reign of the Antichrist, and now the Lord is speaking to John the Revelator, showing him in the documentary. God's created this documentary. The angel of the Lord is showing him. So 42 months, that's the same period of time. 3.5 years is exactly 42 months. 12, 12, 12, 36 plus 6, that's 42. Continuing, verse 6, and talking about the Antichrist, and he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is those who dwell in heaven. Verse 7 says, and the beast, that's the Antichrist, was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. Now, in the book of Revelation, people are divided into two categories. Here are the categories. Those who belong to this world, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those are the goats, those are the tares, those are the bad fish who are thrown out. So that's one group. Different language to describe the same group of people. So again, the people who belong to this world are individuals whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The other group of people are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the sheep who hear God's voice. The wheat that is kept, the good fish that are kept and not thrown out. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who belong to the kingdom of God. And they're separate. We are separate from those who belong to this world. So verse 8. Revelation 13, verse 8 says, and all the people who belong to this world worship the beast, meaning people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who have failed to make Jesus Christ their mediator, they're saying, oh, I'll you know what, I'm going to be my own lawyer. Lord, I'll see you in court. They're saying, yes, God, I'll see you in court. I'll see you in court. I'm going to be my own attorney. Doesn't make sense. Does it make sense if God is the prosecutor and you are pro se, in other words, you're defending yourself, who do you think is going to win in court, you or God? Now, don't be mad at me when I say that God has a case against me. He has a case against you. He has a case against me. The only way to avoid being prosecuted in court as a result of our sin debt is to make Jesus Christ our mediator. That's the only way to get in right standing with God. You can have Jesus pay that sin debt for you. He'll do it. He'll appropriate his death, his precious blood, and put it in your account, blotting out all your sins so that you can be in right standing and you don't have to go to court. The Antichrist is going to court and he's going to lose. All who belong to this world, they're going to court. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, the dead judge prophecy. They're going to court and they're going to lose. Now, let's go back to the Antichrist. And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. So this is what's happening during the Great Tribulation before the Antichrist goes to court. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. Now, if you were listening in September of 2022, you heard Prophet Randy Chandler announce the name of the Antichrist. Now, what does that mean? You could be keeping track to the extent that news reports permit. You could be keeping track of the activities of the Antichrist right now. Right now. Now, you know from the Bible his key activities. His key activities, in other words, what he will be doing during the Great Tribulation and how he will ultimately arrive in court. He'll be found guilty, and he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. So there's the Great Tribulation. There's the Battle of Armageddon. Captured, he goes to court, and then he is sentenced to eternal damnation, which is the second death. He's thrown into the lake of fire, and that is his destruction. That, in a nutshell, is us talking about the key activities of the Antichrist as discussed in the book of Revelation and in Daniel chapter 7. I want to go right now to your calls. If you want to share your comment or pose a question or present a prayer request, please call during the live internet broadcast 1-319-527-6027, 941-524. We're going to come to you first. 941-524. Who am I talking to and where are you calling from? I can't hear you yet, 941. Can you hear us? Okay, I see your hand raised. Maybe I don't know if you have me on speaker or not. Okay, let's try this one more time. Okay, 941-524. Okay, maybe 941 stepped away. So let us continue. If you can hear me, 941-524, I want to try one more time. I hate to miss a caller. 941-524, if you can hear me but for some reason you're not able to talk, you can text in your comment or question using our PGN text number. That's 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. You can text in your comment or question about the book of Revelation. You can also text in your prayer request. Your text goes to Prophet Randy Chandler, who will share it with me, and I will respond as quickly as I can. Typically, that will be either during the live internet broadcast or the next broadcast. So thank you so much for that. Okay, so what have we focused on today? We've talked about the reality that the Battle of Armageddon concludes concludes with several key activities. One of the key things that happens is that the Antichrist is captured and he is thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death. It is permanent. That is also referred to as eternal damnation. It's a final destination. Now, the Antichrist is the first of God's five enemies to be thrown into the lake of fire. Four more follow. Who are they? The false prophet. 1,000 years later, Revelation chapter 20, verses 9 and 10, Satan goes in there. And then shortly after Satan, the children of Satan. Who are the children of Satan? All who have taken the mark of the beast, certainly, as well as those who died prior to the Great Tribulation or during the millennial reign and who were not in Christ. So everyone who is not in Christ is in Satan. Let me say that again. Everyone who is not in Christ is in Satan. Now, if you say to me, truth seeker, I'm agnostic, what does that mean? That means you are in Satan. If you say to me, research scientist, I'm in a fill in the blank. If it's anything other than in Christ, you are in Satan. Now, you might say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter. You are not the decider. I am not the decider. You're not the creator. It's like you saying, well, I don't believe that the earth is round. Really? That doesn't change the reality that the earth is round. Let me give you another example. You might say, well, I don't believe in the concept of rain. Does it matter? Rain exists. It's going to keep on raining, whether you believe in it or not, whether I believe in it or not. Take-home point, there is a thing called the Lamb's Book of Life, and either your name and my name, either our names are in it or they are not. And if my name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, that means I'm headed to the second death. That means that I will participate in the great white throne judgment. Now, praise God. Praise God. I found out about the truth. What's the truth? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man gets to the Father except by him. Now, why do you need to get to God the Father? Why do you need that? You might say, well, I think I'm good. I'm good right now. Things, you know, I'm fine. You're not. You're not. Death is upon you. Death is your greatest enemy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26 says, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. God sees death as an enemy. And Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, he's going to destroy death. That's the fifth enemy. Jesus Christ is going to throw death into the lake of fire. What does that mean? That means death will not exist anymore on the new earth. So you need to meet God. You need God because if you're not with God, then you're with Satan. Those are the only two choices. Either you can be restored to sonship or daughtership with God. You can decide, I'm going to be a part of the forever family. I'm going to be a member of the royal race. I'm going to be a part of the forever family of God. Or you can be part of the forever family of Satan. Now, what is the place that Satan has prepared for his children? Well, he hasn't prepared any place. In fact, he's going to a place that God has prepared. He's going to the lake of fire. And if you're his child, you're going to join him there. Now, if you accept the invitation of God to be restored to sonship, to be restored to daughtership, to be adopted into the family of God, then you'll be where God is. Now, where's he going to be? It's on the new earth. On the new earth, again, Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 to 5 of 22, this is a perfect earth. It's everything God intended this present earth to be, it has no more death, it has no more pain, it has no more sorrow, no more grief. So what that means is if you have a pet dog on the new earth, you'll get to be with your dog forever. If you have a pet horse with you on the new earth, your horse is going to live forever. You're going to live forever, forever and ever. You'll get to see the face of God. Instead of having the mark of the beast on your forehead, which is a counterfeit mark, you'll have the mark of God, Revelation chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 22. Now, again, you might say, I'm good. I'm good. Everything's fine. Everything's not fine. Death is upon you. Let me say it again. Everything is not fine. Death is upon you. In your body, in my body, there is coding for death. Jobs wasn't able to escape death. The Queen of England, in all her extraordinary wealth and power, she wasn't able to escape death. If these great people, in other words, when I say great, I'm talking about people of means, people who had power. If they could purchase a cure for death, they would have. They couldn't. They could not. You cannot. I cannot. Now, how can you escape death? There's only one way. There's only one to escape death, and that's to transition from mortality to immortality. How do you do it? How do you do it? You do it by going to mediation. What am I saying? Every person who goes to mediation with Jesus Christ as the mediator will emerge victorious. Why is that? Why is that? Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was sinless. So his death was unwarranted. So the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So when he died, because he had not committed any sins, his death was unwarranted. Now, I've committed sins. You've committed sins. Now, maybe I've committed more sins than you. Doesn't matter. Anyone who's committed any sin, even one, the consequence, in other words, the wages, the consequence of that sin is death. Now, true enough, we inherited the propensity to sin. That doesn't change the reality that we have sinned now because Jesus never, ever sinned and he died. He has the ability to allow his death to be substituted for ours. In other words, he can use his precious blood to pay our sin debt. He can say, well, I wasn't supposed to die, but I did. Let me scoot that over into your account. So, therefore, that cancels out the death you're supposed to have, which will allow me to resurrect you. Since we're going to count my death, talking about the death of Jesus Christ, as your own. So when he counts his death as our own, that means that he then has the right to resurrect us because now we are in Christ. We are in Christ. So I've been saying in different ways the same thing, which is that if you want to have eternal life, what's that? Three in one. That's living in a tangible body, a physical body that can touch, hear, smell, see, and taste. If you want to live in a tangible body that's 100% free of DNA errors, where you have your same soul, mind, will, and emotions, your same spirit, and you want to live forever and ever, do it. Do it, friend and truth seeker. That's a good thought. That's cooperating with God. If you say, I want to live, do it. Now, how do you do it? How do you live forever? How do you cheat death? The Bible says, oh, death, where are your terrors? Grave, where's your victory? Let me get that scripture for us. The Bible says, talking about death and victory, oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the victory? What's the victory? Victory isn't getting a Mercedes. Victory isn't getting a brand new house. Victory isn't getting the job of your dreams. Now, those are not negative things, okay? God created things, so I'm not, like, anti-thing. But victory is talking about getting your life, a forever life, eternal life. It's talking about cheating death. It's through Jesus Christ that we're able to transition from mortality to immortality. Death is your enemy. Donald Trump is not your savior. And Joe Biden is not your enemy. Let me say it another way. Joe Biden is not your enemy. No, let me say it another way. Joe Biden is not your savior, and Donald Trump is not your enemy. What I'm trying to communicate is there are lots of things that get our attention, but the main thing that deserves your attention, the main thing that deserves my attention is Jesus Christ, the only person who has a plan to destroy death, your number one enemy. Death is your number one enemy. And we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, and the last enemy he destroys, who's he? Jesus Christ, will be death. Now let's go to that in the book of Revelation. We're going to end there today. We're going to end there today talking about the destruction of death. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. So we heard how the Antichrist is going to be judged in Daniel chapter 7. Now let's hear about the last two enemies being destroyed. Now, who are the last two enemies of God? The first three, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. The last two are the children of Satan and death. The dead judge prophecy, Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, says this, and I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Here it is. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So death is going to be destroyed by Jesus Christ. I think you ought to get to know Jesus Christ. He is the only one who has the power and the plan. He has the power and a plan, which will be carried out to destroy your number one enemy. He deserves your attention. He's going to take out your number one enemy. He deserves your attention. He deserves your attention. Now, maybe this is your first time hearing about the truth that Jesus Christ is the key to immortality. Now, again, we're not talking about science fiction. We're talking about science fact. The reality of immortality, it is coming. Jesus Christ is granting, he is granting immortality through a real experience, which is referred to in the Bible as the resurrection, to every person who chooses to go to mediation, every person who chooses to allow Jesus Christ to be his or her mediator. If you want to do that, go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, and follow those instructions. You can type into your computer Acts, A-C-T-S, Acts, and then put the number 2, colon 38. That means chapter 2, verse 38, and you follow those instructions there. There's the instructions for mediation, how to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. In other words, how to get in right standing with God so that all your sin debt is blotted out of your books, the books we were talking about today. Well, friend and truth seeker, I'm so grateful for your time. I'm so grateful for your time. I never, ever take for granted the time that you spend here with me and with us. We're going to continue discussion and analysis of the Marriage Supper documentary on Sunday at 12 noon Texas time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern. Next Thursday, we're going to a new prophecy in the book of Revelation. I hope you will be with me and with us. You can see the one-page basic study notes that accompany today's talk by going to blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic. You can hear this. You can hear this live internet broadcast again. You can go to the archives at Apple Podcasts or at blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic. If you haven't done so yet, and according to Jeremiah 33:3, I urge you, call out to God. He promises to show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know. Until next time, friend and truth seeker, God bless you.